おはようございます。
おはようございます。
皆さん元気ですか？僕が先週の水曜日に無事に水戸に帰ってきて、向こうで家族と一緒に時間を過ごせて、とっても祝福された時間でしたし、とてもリフレッシュされました。で、皆さんが私のために、あと家族、特にお父さんのために祈ってくれてありがとうございました。で、今お父さんの状態はまだはっきりわからない状態で、先に CT スキャンというその検査をして、でもまだその結果とかお医者さんとの話がまだ来月の4日にする予定ですから、その時までは皆さんがそのお祈りを続けたらありがたいです。で、この絵を見ると、これはヨーロッパ系のような絵じゃなく、中国人のクリスチャンが描いた絵です。で、その中国のような文化から、このパウロの話、この絵を見せています。で、その火がイエス様の光というイメージ で、とても面白い絵が描いてありましたので、それを皆さんに少しでも見せたかった。で、これからそのパウロの話に行くんですけど、その前に皆さんがこの言葉、このビジョン、このテーマ、この聖句が覚えてますか？今年年度に入ってから、これは水戸教会の今年度のテーマですね。深く交わり、豊かに実る。で、使徒言行録の1章の8節の聖句からこのテーマを決まりました。聖霊様がその信者の皆さんに入ってきて、聖霊様の力によって神様がイエス様の弟子を通してたくさん素晴らしい、とても楽しい、信じられないくらいことを行いました。神様が聖霊様の力によって、その弟子たちを通して、イエス様の12人の弟子たちだけじゃなくて、それぞれの場所で、さっきトニー兄弟が言ったように、コリント人でも、もう教会はぐちゃぐちゃになっても、ある人はその聖霊様の力によって、その町で神様の望んでいることを行いました。で、私たちも今年年度にその使徒言行録、言行録を集中して学んでいます。で、それを読んでるときに、自分がそこに入ってることのイメージをしてますか？ただ、面白いだけで終わりか、自分もそこに入って、自分がそこの場所に行ったらどういうふうに感じているか、どういうふうに成長するか、どういうふうに変わっているかということをイメージしてますか？もうこの9章でもう3分の1がこの話が終わってますね。だから、またこの深く交わり、豊かに実る、この聖句を覚えながら、今年のこの3つのビジョンを持っています。で、その使徒言行録を考えながら、勉強しながら、どういうふうに私たちの日々生活に この教会がどういうふうにこれができますかということをもともと、いつもそれを考えてほしいですね。私たちが毎日、日曜日だけじゃなくて毎日どういうふうに私自身がこれができますか、私の奉仕でどういうふうに教会が成長できますか。でみんな一人一人をそれを考えながら神様の祝福で聖霊様の力でそれができるはずだと信じています。9章を読むとそれぞれの話があります。まずはパウロの話ですね。8章まではパウロがそのクリスチャンたち、そのキリスト教に反対していろんな弟子たちをの迫害をそのリーダーとしてやりました。でダマスコの町にいた時イエス様と出会ってそこで自分の人生がだいぶ変わりました。自分の目的が変わりました。自分の宣教が変わりました。アナニアという人もパウロのことが知っていて、パウロがすごく怖い人だと知っていて、でもイエス様がアナニアに特別な宣教、パウロがそういうふうにまたこの体の目が見えるようにことだけじゃなくてその心の目がまた開いて見えるように役割を、ありました。イエス様からそれを読んでた。でそこからパウロの宣教が始まりました。でパウロ自身がたくさん迫害が始まりました。もう殺そうという思いがそのイスラエル人の中にありました。そのクリスチャンになった人たちもちょっとパウロのことを疑って、でもバルナバというリーダーのおかげで少しずつパウロを受けられた。でそこからパウロがしばらくの間にその宣教のために自分を準備して訓練をされて、でその時にペテロの話にまた戻って、でペテロがあと2人を聖霊様の力によって癒しました。でこのタビタドルカスという女の人の話は 僕の好きな話です。この女性、この女の人がよくイエス様のために奉仕をして、特に社会的に若い弱い人たちのために集中して奉仕をできました。自分自身がこの使徒言語録の9章を読むと誰に似てますか、似てるという言葉はこの顔と似てることじゃなく、確かにこのバルナバはちょっと学の顔と似てるかもしれないし、あとパウロは僕みたいに少しずつ髪の毛が薄くなっていってくるかもしれないけど、その似てる時じゃなくて、その話、どういうふうにイエス様と出会って、イエス様はどういうふうにその人を使ったか、そのイエスの道具として あなたはこの一人一人の話を見ると誰と似てますか？またはあなたの信仰生活、今の人生を、日々生活を見ると未信者の方、もしくは家族か友達を考えると、その愛している存在、大切な人はこの人たちで誰と見てますか？まあ、その旧書をもう一回あの日本語で読んで、で、あの今までのことをまた英語ではあの話すんだけど、この二つのことを考えてください。自分は誰と似てますか？あとはその大切な人は誰と似てますか？ OK, so、going back in English, first of all, I just wanted to say that I'm really glad to be home in Mito.I had a really wonderful time with my family, and I was very refreshed with my time with them. Every morning we got up, we sat by the lake, we had 2 hours of coffee and talk time, and didn't really do anything except that. You look at everybody in my family in pictures, and you can tell that we are not the go out and do sports family. We are the sit and eat and talk, and then sit and eat and talk, and sit and eat and talk family. And we did a lot of that, and it was really great. We were blessed by God, and I was really refreshed. And I'm really thankful for all of you praying for me, and specifically praying for my dad. We still don't have a result. We think that possibly he has cancer, but we're not sure.And so August 4th, we'll meet with the oncologist. So if you can continue praying for him, I'd really appreciate that. When we began this year, this fiscal year, we looked at Mito Church, and as a group, we said, this is going to be our theme. This is going to be the scripture that we're going to focus on. This is going to be our vision for the year.Growing deeper, going beyond. And I think today's story of what Jesus calls Paul to is exactly summarizing that. Jesus calls Paul to grow deeper and to go beyond. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But I think that we are also being called as Mito Church to grow deeper and to go beyond. And I want to look at this scripture again, from Acts 1, because in this scripture...It talks about the Holy Spirit coming into each of the believers. And they're released to that power of the Holy Spirit. And that so many incredible things happen. When you're reading Acts, you know, we're looking at Acts for this year. When you're reading Acts, are you actually envisioning yourself as a part of this story? Are you envisioning yourself...being a part of those churches? They were brand new. A lot of those people had no history, no background in Jesus, no background in the Bible at all. It's pretty similar to our context right now. But can you imagine yourself being in the church in Corinth? Can you imagine yourself being in these stories? That's what I want to challenge you to be doing, is not just read it and then leave it aside, but try to picture yourselfAnd how would you grow? How would you change? How would you struggle? How would you be amazed by what the Holy Spirit is doing? And I think that the point is, the Holy Spirit is at work through the people. God is accomplishing it. Not the people, God. Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit's power. But He is using the people. And it's not just the 12 apostles.It's all of the people. Of course, the Corinthian church was in absolute chaos. But there were people who were there that God had anointed, that God had chosen. And His Spirit was at work in those people and in that place. So as we look at it, we think about, these are specifically three visions that we've identified, that we want to grow. We may not be finished with them, but we want to start.Focusing on these three areas in our spiritual life as a church. And so I'm asking each person, both Japanese and non-Japanese, who's a member of this church, as you're reading this text, are you, what are you thinking? How are you connecting these visions with what you're reading? How are you connecting with what you're doing on a day-to-day basis with these things? Because the reality is, unless you yourself are taking ownership, unless you're saying, okay, what can I do? Who can I be in order to make this a more spiritually mature church? The church cannot mature. So I want us to look at these and not just have them on a piece of paper that we talk about at the beginning of the year and forget about. I want us to constantly be being reminded of this and constantly using that as a challenge to help us focus on where we want to go and how we want to grow. If you look at the Acts 9 text, it starts with Paul. Paul's on the way to Damascus. Before chapter 9, he's the one who is leading the revolt against this backward group that is trying to corrupt the Jewish faith. And he's the one who's leading them in the persecution of the Christian people. But on the road to Damascus, he meets Jesus, and his life is changed. His life is changed completely, forever. His focus is changed. His mission is changed. And as we think about Paul's story, we want to think about our own stories as well. Also, Ananias. We kind of skip over this, but actually Ananias also has a mission. He's afraid of Paul. But Jesus calls Ananias to heal Paul. And not just heal his physical eyes, but to heal his spiritual eyes. So that Paul can accomplish what Jesus has prepared for him. But Paul cannot accomplish that unless Ananias is faithful to his call from Jesus in healing him. Then later, we start to begin to hear about Paul getting into trouble because he makes this huge switch and does a big 180 turn on everybody and starts preaching the gospel. And he himself begins to experience the persecution that he was leading before. And he even has threats of death. Not only is he rejected by the Jews, he's also rejected by the Christians who are afraid of this man. I mean, look at his track record. There's nothing that would say, this is why you should trust him. But there's a man named Barnabas, who again is faithful to his call, who's a man of wisdom, and who is respected. And Jesus uses Barnabas to help Paul to accomplish the mission that he has. Then we take a break from Paul because Paul goes, and we know he spends some time doing some study and preparing for his mission. And while he's doing that, we go back to Peter's story. And in Peter's story, he's healing two people. And you can read about that in chapter 9. I love the story of Tabitha. She's one of my favorite people in Acts because she has a heart for the people in society who are hurting, for the lowly in society. And by her life, by her service, people's lives are changed. They weep when she dies. And so we hear about Peter healing two people and seeing how the Holy Spirit works not only through Jesus in healing, but through his people to heal others. And so that's chapter 9 in a basic way. But I want you to take some time now. I'm going to switch back into Japanese for a minute. While I'm doing that, I want you to look through chapter 9 again. Look through each of those stories that I've just outlined to you, and I want you to ask yourself these two questions. With whose story do you resemble the most? In Japanese, it ended up kind of being a bit of a joke because I couldn't think of the best way to say it, and so it sounded like, who do you look like? And so I said, Gaku's face kind of looks like Barnabas in this picture, and my hair is thinning kind of like Paul in that picture. So, but I'm not talking about that kind of who do you look like, but whose story do you resemble? When you look at Ananias, at Paul, at Barnabas, Ananias, Peter, Tabitha, in your own faith story, who do you resemble? Think about their struggles. Think about how they came to faith. Think about their challenges. Also think about how they're impacting other people's lives. So whose story do you resemble from this chapter? And then not just that, I also want you to think about not only your story, but the story of somebody else whose life you're involved with now. Somebody who does not yet know Christ, or has not yet committed themselves as a disciple of Jesus? And who do they resemble? And this morning we were talking about thinking about where people are coming from and how that intersects with the gospel. I want to challenge you in this as well. Think about the people that you're with. Who are these people? Each of these people has an individual story. God is working in their lives in different ways. So think about that, yourself and somebody else that you desire to be a disciple. Okay? この9章を読むと、今回あの神様の導きで僕が一番気づいたのは5節のことです。なぜかというと、その5節にパオロがとても大切な質問を聞いてます。でその質問は、主よ、あなたはどなたですかという質問です。その時まではパウロはそんなにイエス様と親しい関係を持ってなかった。イエス様に関する情報は分かったかもしれない。でもイエス自身が分からなかった。だからこの質問は私たちに対してもとても大切なことだと思います。主よ、あなたはどなたですか。で、イエス様の答えの方が面白いと思います。その答えと宣教が同時にパウロに答えています。5節と6節に、私はあなたが迫害しているイエスである。起きて町に入れ。そうすればあなたのなすべきことが知らされる。ここでイエス様がただどなたですかという質問だけを答えしなくて、自分は誰ですかと表す同時に、パウロに宣教を与えてくださいました。町に入れ、あなたのなすべきことが知らされる。この時にパウロ自身がその宣教はどういうことか、具体的にどうなるか、どういうふうに聖霊様が彼を使うかということがはっきり分からなかった。でもその答えでその宣教をもらいました。この質問とこの答えを考えると、普段に私たちはイエス様を知ることよりもイエス様のためにやることに集中しています。本当はそうですね。私たちのやることで皆さんが私たちを褒められました。他の人が私を認めて、私のやっていることで、あ、ジョエルがこれをやりましたのでこういう人です、あ、この人がいい人です、この人が悪い人ですとはっきり分かっている。でもそのやることじゃなくて、イエス様を知ることの方が大事だと思います。このでも、イエス様を知ることにより、パウロが彼の宣教することを見つけました。私たちがイエス様の弟子、そのクリスチャンという言葉はあんまり、正直に言うとあんまり好きじゃない。たくさんの人がクリスチャンだけど、たくさんの人がイエス様の弟子ではないと思います。クリスチャンになっても本当に 弟子として生きていることは残念ながら別のことだと思います。でイエスの弟子として生きていればまずその先生をわからないとどのように弟子になることもわからない、知らないと思います。だからまずイエス様をしてから私たちは何をするかをいただくと思います。でその答えと選挙によって普段に私たちは具体的に全部のことが分かることを望んでいます。正直に言うと自分の文化より日本は本当にそうです。日本に来てからやっぱりその他のリラと何か提案があるときは、例えばアメリカとかはただこういうビジョンがあります、でそれが盛り上がったらみんながはい賛成です、でその後は具体的に決まります。でも日本の場合はまず全部を考えて具体的にそれを話してからやるかやらないか、でそれは悪くはないよ。でも私たちがよくその全部のことを分かってからやりたい。でも本当はイエスの弟子だったら全部を分かることが本当にできないです。なぜかというと私たちはそのコントロールを持ってない。イエス様がその予定を持っています。で私たちの役はイエス様を従うこと、だから分からなくてもイエス様を従います。イエス様がパウロに具体的にどのように何をするかではなく、ただどこへ行くのを教えました。町に入れ、で町に行ってから何をするかが知らされると言ってたでしょ。だからなぜその町に行ってるのか、そこに行ってからどうするかということを全然説明しなくて、またはパウロがそれを聞いてない、ただ町に行った。パウロが具体的に分からなくてもイエス様を信頼して従いました。でそれは私たちイエスの弟子としてふさわしい答えだと思います。次はまた英語で説明します。 So as I look at chapter 9, the thing that God brought to my mind especially was verse 5. So if you look with me at verse 5, Paul asks a question. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And I think that that's important. Until this point, Paul doesn't know who Jesus is. He may know things about Jesus. He may know things that Jesus did. He may know things that Jesus taught. But he doesn't know Jesus personally. And so this is his opportunity where he gets to meet Jesus. And he asks the question, "Who are you?" And I think that's very significant for our faith life as disciples. Have you asked this question, "Jesus, who are you?" And I think Jesus' response is equally or even more so interesting in verses 5 and 6. Because he says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And then he doesn't just end with identifying who he is. At the same time, he also gives Paul a call to mission. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So he doesn't just answer Paul's question, he gives him something more. Then if you look at verse 5, if you think about our faith lives, generally we emphasize doing for Jesus rather than knowing Jesus. But that's a mistake, because it was through knowing Jesus that Paul discovered his mission. A lot of times we validify who people are based on what they have accomplished, based on what they do. And I'm not saying that that's not important, but I'm saying it's easy for me to do things for Jesus without spending time with Jesus and getting to know him more. And if I don't fall in love with Jesus every day, what I do for him is worth nothing. So as Jesus' disciples, we have to focus first and foremost on knowing him. I don't like the word Christian because it has a very weak meaning. I prefer the word disciple. I think it's possible to be a Christian and not to be a disciple, even though that's unfortunate. I think a lot of people become Christians. I think few people become true disciples of Jesus, where they're wholly submitted to him. And I don't think you can be a disciple unless you're intimately knowing Jesus, because he's the master. And then if you look at the response and the mission, generally we want to have everything figured out. But notice that Jesus only tells Paul where to go and not what to do or how to do it. I made a comment that one of the things that I've had to learn was that I've had to adjust in Japan is, generally in North America when I work with a church, I would just say, "This is my vision!" And then everybody would be like, "Yeah, let's do it!" And then we'd figure out how to do it. Whereas in Japan, you know, you have to say, "This is what I'd like to do, and this is why I'd like to do it, and this is how, and this is who would like to..." And we have to figure out a lot of the different things beforehand. And that's not a bad thing. That's okay. That's a part of this culture, and we need to adjust to that. But what I'm saying is, in our life as disciples of Jesus, it's impossible for us to know everything. When we get a call, our response is just to be obedient, just to do it. Because Jesus is the one in control. Jesus is the one who's the head of the mission. So a lot of times, he will say, "I want you to go here," or "I want you to do this," or "I want you to have a relationship with this person that you wouldn't necessarily naturally want to do that with." But it's because he has a purpose that he is going to accomplish through you. And so I think it's also interesting to note that Paul is obedient, even though he doesn't know the whole picture. Paul doesn't say, "Well, why do you want me to go there? Well, what are you going to do? Well, what are you going to ask me to do? Well, how are we going to do that?" We get into that a lot in our faith lives. But Paul doesn't do that. He gets up and he goes to the city. I'm sure he wrestled with it, because if you read some of his later letters, you can tell that Paul is kind of a strong personality. So I'm sure he struggled with that. I do. But I'm challenged by Paul's response to just be obedient and to go. And so here's our challenge from Acts 9. First of all, that we need to see ourselves in the ongoing story and testimony of God's work in people's lives. God is not just accomplishing in the Bible. God is accomplishing today. The Holy Spirit is active today. God is still giving us a call today. So as you read Acts, how are you looking at your own life on a daily basis and seeing yourself as a part of the ongoing story, as a part of the testimony? Secondly, is to know Jesus intimately. And I said this before, but I think that this is really, really crucial. If we don't know the Master, we cannot be the disciple. And thirdly, to respond obediently to our mission calling, even if we don't know what or how to do it. Many of you that are here as foreigners are here either you're studying or you're here working as an AET. And you may not necessarily know, I mean, you may have your own ideas of why you think God brought you here. But God, I'm sure, has an even bigger picture than you are aware of. for your life. So how can you be continuously obedient? And how can you release yourself to the power of the Spirit, the power of the gospel, to Jesus' love, to do that? 今日の使徒の九章を読むと、私たちのチャレンジは何でしょうかと考えると、聖書の時代から今もずっと神様が周りの人々の人生に働き続けていることをの証人となる。聖霊様がこの使徒言行録だけで動いたわけでもない。神様の力は聖書時代だけであったことでもない。今でもそれを続けている。だからそれは本当に嬉しいことです。本当に楽しいことです。どういうふうに神様は私たちを使って動いているか、それを期待しています。それを楽しみにしています。で、イエス様と親しい関係を持つことが本当に大事。私たちの主が親しく分からなければ弟子になれない。で、どのように何をするかを分からなくても、イエス様の宣教に私たちを呼ばれていることに従って合わせる。私たちの人生をその呼んでる宣教に従って合わせることが本当に大事だと思います。まあ、ある人はそれが簡単にできるかもしれないけど、私みたいに具体的にいろいろ分かってから、あ、じゃあできる、あ、じゃあやるということを性格の人がいらっしゃいますか？でも、パオロみたいに私たちのチャレンジが本当にイエス様を信頼して歩んでいこう。失敗しても失敗しよう。失敗しながら私たちが勉強する。失敗しながらそういうふうに神様が私たちを変わっている。失敗してもそういうふうに私たちが成長する。神様のおかげで私たちを許してあげる。私たちを癒す。この御言葉を通して、この水戸キリストの教会、または日本、またはこの世界の教会のために祈りたいと思います。こうして教会はユダヤ、ガリラやサマリアの全地方で平和を保ち、主を恐れ、聖霊の慰めを受け、で、そういうふうにその人たちがだんだん増えてきた。やっぱり私たちがその人を増えることを望んでるけど、やっぱりそのさっきのこと、その平和がなければ、聖霊様の慰めがなければ、主を恐れることというのは、主を親しく分かって従うことがなければそれはできません。私たちの教会でも、この日本のためにでも祈りたいと思います。 So I want to say a prayer for this specific church, for this nation of Japan, for the world, using these words. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it grew in strength and numbers. The believers were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we focus on growth, but you cannot have growth if you don't have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, if you don't have a fear of the Lord. Fear is knowing God, knowing your proper place in relationship to God, and being obedient to Him. So the walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, if we don't have that, we cannot grow. So that's my prayer for it. This is what I want to pray for us today. Jalimations. Tennoto-sama, 私たちがこの使徒言行録9章から御言葉を聞いて、あなた様からのメッセージをいただいて、私たちの信仰生活でチャレンジされていることを神様からいただいて、本当に心から感謝します。どうかこの教会の上に、この教会の中で、あなた様の平和がありますように。私たちが主を恐れますように、親しく分かって従いますように。聖霊様の慰めを受けながら、毎日お一人一人、私たちが人生をあなた様に委ねて、信頼して、あなた様の聖霊様の力が私たちの中に働くことができますように。 God, I pray for this church, I pray for this nation, I pray for this world.You would bring these things in our life as your disciples, as your followers. God, I pray that your peace would reign, that your shalom would be with us. God, that we would walk in fear of you, knowing who you are intimately, and being obedient, responding, not just being passive.But actively responding to who you are and to the peace that we experience in you. Help to change us. Give us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Help us to release and entrust our lives to you, and allow the power of the Holy Spirit be enacted in and through our lives.We pray this in the name of Jesus. Holy Lord, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, help us. Amen.